Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's 3 and Out driven by Toyota Knoxville. And we're pleased to be joined now by David Ubben of The Athletic. And his latest is on the offensive coordinator, Jim Chaney. So we want to start right there.
David, I'd say people are probably interested in that.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Last time we talked to you, we were in, I think, the latter half of the 40 days and 40 nights.
I was going to say it was 40s.
As Tennessee searched for their offensive coordinator. So I haven't even had a chance to read your latest post about Jim Chaney, his kind of last stop here at Tennessee and what that means moving forward. But so let's just start with, grade the hire. It took a while, but what do you think? Jim Chaney as Tennessee's new offensive coordinator.
I mean, I think right now you got to go with an incomplete. I think for what an offensive coordinator hire can be right now, which is basically just perception, you got to go A+. You got people excited, you got people hopeful. What is the impact come fall? You know, we'll see. You know, I think the biggest thing with Jim Chaney's offenses is he usually has some pretty good talent, and Tennessee's got some pretty good skill talent. What has he got on the offensive line? We'll find out. But I think you got to go incomplete, but for, you know, the next, what, 6, 7, 8, 9 months till the season starts, people are going to be excited. And I think, especially thinking back to the last time that we talked and where this offensive coordinator search was heading, I mean, an A-plus seemed like something that was, looking like a pipe dream, but they got that and they got people excited. So I think that's a win for Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, I think when you look back at, from the end of the Vanderbilt game to right now, it's just been win after win after win after Jeremy Pruitt. So a big offseason for him.
Yeah, you mentioned an A-plus looked like a pipe dream. I'll be honest, David, a C-minus looked like a pipe dream for about 3 weeks there in the middle of this thing. Can you just summarize, in your opinion or secret knowledge, what happened with this search? Like, was the plan all along to get to day 40, six, and have a big name? Did they miss on a bunch of guys early, start falling down their board, and then just load up the cash truck and make one run at Jim Chaney? Like, what, in your opinion, was the process here?
I mean, I think it was just, talking to a lot of people and ultimately prioritizing, recruiting over the coordinator search. I mean, you feel like that was more important. I mean, not to revisit the offensive coordinators are overrated comment, but, he felt like obviously getting players was more important. And he felt like, we'll find it an OC in time. And he was ultimately correct. But, I mean, ultimately, when you look at making that move, I mean, $600,000, I don't know about you guys. I've never gotten a raise quite that high, maybe pretty close. But that has a way of impacting people. And I think Georgia was not super excited about matching that. And when you want to pay that much, you're going to get your list of possible candidates grows quite a bit, and that's sort of where Tennessee ended up there.
Was Georgia trying to get rid of Chaney?
No, I mean, that's not quite, I mean, I think, no, there was not going to be an inevitable breakup. I think they were not super fired up about Chaney. And I think when he goes to them and says, I have an offer for $1.5 million, I think Kirby Smart
sure
said something to the effect of, well, congratulations,
yeah,
man.
See ya.
Good luck, and I think they feel really confident about James Coley. The Georgia fan base might not feel quite as confident, but I think he felt like he had a guy that he really liked in the middle, and I think just paying a coordinator $1.5 million is not something that Georgia wanted to do. But when you're Tennessee and you don't have a lot of talent, you don't have a lot of recent wins, you don't have a head coach that people are beating down the door to work for, you got to pay for people. Got to pay for quality talent. If you don't have all those things to offer, you got to offer money and a chance to come back to a place that Jim Chaney really liked, and that's what Tennessee had to offer.
David, it's weird to me that throughout this search, we saw a lot of ties to offensive coordinators who had some air raid principles in their offense. Guys like Chip Lindsey, Kendall Briles, Yurcich to a degree, but it was a lot of coordinators who just love to air it out. Jim Chaney at Georgia the last 2 years has led the SEC in rushing. They have 4,000-yard running backs in the last 2 years. As we look at this transition into the Tennessee Jim Chaney offense, in your opinion, between year zero, if you will, and next year, What's the biggest change that Jim Chaney is going to be able to implement? Do we see a different passing attack, a completely different rushing attack, and which one improves the most, in your opinion?
I mean, I think creativity on first down, I think, is a huge one. I think Tennessee really got leaned pretty heavy into the whole, run pass cadence that I think was really frustrating fans and was predictable. I mean, when I'm sitting there watching games from the press box and I pretty much know what's coming a lot of the time, that's not a good sign. I'm not a defensive coordinator. You know, they get paid at least, $10, $15 more an hour than I do. So, it's a situation where you've got to improve on that and be less predictable. And I think when you're looking at immediate impact, that doesn't have anything to do with talent, doesn't have anything to do with, development, bringing better guys in, improving the offensive line, you got to be a little more predictable. And I think that's something that Jim Chaney, I think, has a better grasp on. And even if Jerry Pruitt's saying, we got to run the ball, I think Chaney is the type of personality and a guy with experience that can say, nah, Jeremy, we gotta run some play action here. We gotta get them. You gotta get the defense on their toes a little bit more. And I think that, he's got the experience and the sort of resume that I think Jerry Pruitt is more apt to listen to that than a guy in Tyson Helton who was not nearly as experienced, and a guy that Jerry Pruitt hadn't seen around quite as much. So I think when you're looking at immediate impact, that's kind of where I see it the most in terms of just the simplest look at it. But I don't think the offense is going to look remarkably different. And even though Jerry was talking to all those air raid guys, guys that are, have some Big 12 backgrounds, I always just felt like I'll believe it when I see it. And here we are. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I'm not sure I ever quite believed it. And Jim Chaney is a much more, close philosophical lean to what Jerry Pruitt wanted.
You mentioned Jim Chaney being a coach with a ton of experience and a guy who could tell Jeremy Pruitt in not so many words, hey, Jeremy, shut up, I got this. Was that one of the most important boxes that this OC had to check, in your opinion? Because it was for me.
I think it can't hurt. I mean, I thought from the start, I wasn't here last year when they were making hires, but when I started doing research, I kind of looked around and said, so Tennessee's got a first-time head coach, a first-time defensive coordinator, and a first-time offensive coordinator. I have that right.
What could go wrong?
That does not seem like a good idea to me. I thought they should have gotten, an old ex-head coach of some kind to be either a position coach or, a co-OC or someone that can be in the room and help him as a first-time head coach manage some of the natural things that come with being a head-time or a first-time head coach that you just don't know. And Jim Chaney isn't that, but he's a guy that's a lot more experienced in that he's not going to be learning on the job. But when you have a bunch of people doing new jobs for the first time, they're learning on the job, and Jim Chaney is not going to be learning on the job. I think he can do a little bit of teaching on the job, and Tennessee can only benefit from that.
We're talking with David Ubben of The Athletic, and if you haven't joined up yet, I encourage you to do so. His latest on Jim Chaney is Strained Bodies and Minds and Embracing Change. Former Vols offer insight into Jim Chaney's approach, and you can check that out at The Athletic and join up. They've always got great deals going on there as well. David, you mentioned Jim Chaney coming home. There's another coach that's come home to Tennessee. T. Martin has finally come back. What's the latest as you know it there, and what do you think, what type of dynamics do you think he was brought in to add to this coaching staff? You just talked about experience kind of with head coaching level. Where will T. improve the coaching staff, in your opinion?
I mean, I think the biggest asset is obviously recruiting. I mean, that was always his calling card at USC. And I think it will continue to be at Tennessee, and then some fan goodwill. I tell you, talking to people, people like Jerry Pruitt, people like the staff, but it's weird for people to come into Tennessee's facility or visit the program. It's a lot of Bama folk. And people don't love that. they're at the end of the day, it is what it is, and they're working for Tennessee. But there's a lot of Bama in the room. And I think getting a Tennessee guy and a Tennessee guy with the name recognition and the tradition of T. Martin can only help. And I think that's a wise move in a lot of ways. I think, people always felt like the thing that I always heard when I talked to people is like, we're excited about these guys. But it felt a little different when Phil Fulmer was doing it because he's one of us. He's one of us. And Jerry Pruitt is not a Vol. He's a guy who grew up knowing the Vols and seeing them at their best, but that's not him. And I think, you know, if this program succeeds and Jim Pruitt rebuilds this, I think having T be a part of that just would make it only even more special. And then obviously as a recruiter, getting more guys in and being able to tell players, hey, man, this is what it's like if you do something special at Tennessee. And I'm not sure there's a better living example than T. Martin.
The addition of T, the addition of Chaney, obviously Tyson Helton moves on. We're not, I guess, 100% sure who T replaces, but we'll probably get that news soon. What do these moves tell you about Jeremy Pruitt and maybe the direction of Tennessee football? I mean, you're offering Jim Chaney, you know, an average of $1.6 million over a three-year contract. Is this proof that maybe Tennessee finally is committed again and Jeremy Pruitt has the resources available to do what he needs to do, in his opinion, to make this thing as good as it can get?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the reason why Jeremy Pruitt came here. You know, as far as the coaching turnover, you know, it happens every year. I think he made some great replacements. But Jeremy Pruitt came here because Tennessee does not have limitations. He came here because he felt like Tennessee can do whatever whatever he wanted to do at Tennessee was going to get done. Whatever he needed was going to get done. And that's especially true, you know, when he traded in an AD, a guy like John Curry, who is known for, you know, balancing budgets. That's what he was famous for at Kansas State.
Building facilities and balancing budgets.
Yes. There's a lot more of those ADs around than there are football coaches these days. But Jeremy Pruitt needs a football coach AD. And Phil Fulmer knows that, hey, he knows what it takes to run a program, and he knows what you need. And he's going to be a more listening ear to, no, I need that third practice field. No, we need to pay Jim Chaney $1.5 million. We need those things. What Jeremy Pruitt, everything he's wanted over the last year, he snapped his fingers and he's got them. And so I think when you talk about, you know, being committed and what this means, that's what it means. This is another thing that Jeremy Pruitt has asked for that is, you know, there's not that many programs that are going to pay a coordinator $1.5 million. There's just not. And Tennessee is obviously now one of them, and that's, you know, add that to the list of reasons for why Jeremy Pruitt was so interested in this job. He's had head coaching, people call him before, and he hadn't really had that much interest, but he was very interested in Tennessee. And reasons like, yeah, if you want to pay a coordinator $1.5 million, we can make that happen. That's a big reason why.
David, you had a look at Tennessee's offensive and defensive depth charts recently, and obviously we're still kind of working through recruiting leading up to the February signing day. When you looked at those depth charts, how did that then frame your look at the realistic expectations, which was another post I encourage people to check out at The Athletic for this upcoming season, and where, you know, now that the staff changed a little bit, you've got the first, you know, full recruiting class coming in, where do you kind of see the program and how does that shape those expectations?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I think there's no excuse not to get to a bowl next year. I think depth is still going to be an issue. They're going to be young. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, but you look at this team and you look at, you know, people talk about, well, he's got to wait till Pruitt's got his guys in there. I think if you look through the depth chart of how many guys that Jeremy Pruitt recruited, I needed to make this number, but it's got to be close to half or more at this point of guys that Jeremy Pruitt recruited that I think will be on the field and in the depth chart this fall. And so, you know, you look at the defensive line, obviously there's going to be a lot of really young guys that they haven't really counted on, and it's going to be tough, I think, to stop the run. And there's, you know, there's going to be depth issues all over the field. A whole lot of new faces on the offensive line, but they've got to get to a bowl game. And I think when people talk about the changing of the guard, I think if you look at that depth chart and look at the names and compare them with the guys that Jeremy Pruitt brought to campus, I think it's pretty clear that the changing of the guards already happened.
Does Tennessee take a bigger step forward on offense or defense, and do either of those units go backwards in year two?
I think a reasonable step forward on offense, just because the offensive line can't be worse. And
they cannot. You know, they 100% cannot be worse,
yeah,
Dave.
They just can't be. And when you're, even if you're living life with two true freshman tackles, I think if both of those guys are NFL tackles, which I think is true, yeah, that's an upgrade. And so I think the offense takes a pretty big step forward. Defensively, I think it'll be about the same, because I think it'll be a little bit better on the back end and not nearly as good on the front end. I think you're going to be really inconsistent on the front end, because when you're throwing freshmen and sophomores out there that have never really played and a JUCO guys, that's just what it is. So I think that's probably what I would expect is, you know, maybe a little bit better on defense as they get a little bit more in tune with the system. But offensively, you know, like I said, if you've got a great offensive line, whatever you call works. If you got a bad offensive line, nothing you call works. And that sort of was Tennessee's reality last year. So we'll see. But I think ultimately it's going to be a situation where, you know, there's no excuses. You got to get to a bowl. You can't be, you can't go 5-7 2 years in a row. That's for sure. So as far as expectations go, got to get to the postseason. And no losses by like 26 points, you know, none of that. They gotta trim that up. If you're losing to Bama or Georgia by that, that's one thing. But if you're getting embarrassed at home to Mizzou and going to Vanderbilt and making your fans, you know, watching an opposing stadium as you get embarrassed, that's a problem for you.
David, you mentioned the offensive line. Like, do we see any change there with Chaney coming in? I know he has a little bit of history working with, you know, tight ends and some O-linemen here and there. Is it possible he comes in and tries to simplify this thing? Because you mentioned, you know, two true freshman tackles potentially starting. I saw a bunch of guys in the first year of this offensive line scheme last year, and I didn't like what I saw. Do we see some changes there?
I mean, we'll see. I think the not having Sam Pittman is really interesting. I think it adds a variable that's a little bit unpredictable. You know, Jerry Pruitt believes in Will Friend a lot, and he's going to be there. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think Will Friend is a good offensive line coach. I think he's very good. I think last year he had a very bad year. You know, it's one thing when you don't have talented guys, when you have low-ceiling guys. I think anybody who watched that team last year knows that. It's another thing when you've got a bunch of guys that have had to be shuffled in and out because of injuries or, you know, guys that weren't there in the spring and they've got to rush and learn things in the fall. That's another thing. But when you're getting into November and guys don't know who to block, you've still got communication issues, that's coaching. That's not a talent issue. That's guys not knowing what to do, and that's on the coaches. And so you got to be better this year. I mean, I think Will Friend is a good offensive line coach who had a really bad year last year.
Make sure to check out David's work at The Athletic. David, we'll let you go on this one. You said got to get to a bowl game. You kind of talked about the floor and, like, expectations there. We'll end on a high note. What's the ceiling for Tennessee's football team in 2019?
The absolute ceiling. I mean, when you look at their schedule, I mean, they're playing four games away from Neyland Stadium. You pretty much only have one game in Alabama that you really can't win. I mean, there's a path to 8 or 9 wins. I don't think they get there, but if the offensive line, you know, it's one of those things where if everything falls into place, you stay healthy. Your freshman, you know, Crouch is a stud. Peterson is a stud. Your two tackles are studs. All those guys, you know, you figure out, oh, we got some dudes in here. There's a path to 8 or 9 wins. I think there's going to be not all those freshmen are going to come in and be, you know, superstars right away. You're not going to stay healthy. But if all those things do happen, I mean, 8 or 9 wins is not impossible. I don't think that's going to happen. But there's a road to that wouldn't, you know, absolutely knock me off my feet.
There you go. David Ubben of The Athletic.
Predicting 9 wins right here on Fox Sports.
Check out the depth chart look that he's done, the expectations piece, and, of course, the latest on Jim Chaney. Get all that from The Athletic and join up. David, thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Dave. We'll talk soon.